What I feel laid on my heart to speak this morning on is God's blessing on children's resignation. Now, how many of you know what the word resignation means? It's a little bit of a maybe more difficult word. I looked that word up. The reason I use that word is because of the meaning it had behind it. Why don't you turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6? I could put a subtitle under this title called Submission and Obedience Bring Blessing. There's a song that some of us know that says, that one of the lines say, "To thy holy will I now my all resign." And the word resignation comes from, is part of that word resign. Here's the definition. I have that down here. It means to, thought I had it written down here. Anyway, it just simply means to gladly and willingly submit your will to the will of your superior, to the will of the one you're under authority. It means to gladly and cheerfully submit your will to the will of the one God has set over you. Let's read here in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Just a very simple verse. We all know it probably by heart. And you could ask me, why am I sharing on this today? It's not because we don't know it. We already know it. But my burden for the message comes from some of what the last two messages I shared to the fathers, role of leadership, and to the mothers and wives, the power of a woman's submission. And so I thought this might be in place to speak to the youth and the children. So if you could tune your ears in, maybe I could have a raise of hands. How many children do we have in here 10 years old and under? Raise your hand. Okay. How many children in here are between the ages of 11 and 15? How about between 15 and 20? And how about between 20 and 25? And how about between 25 and 50? Amen. Now between 50 and 100. Amen. Okay. I believe God's word is for all of us. This morning we're going to especially be speaking to the children and youth. Another of my motivations is simply for what we're facing in our generation today. We're facing a very strange culture called Generation X. They don't know how to listen to their authorities, or they've never been taught or trained to do so. We have prisons overflowing with people who won't listen, and we've got lots of people that are in big trouble this way. There's many youth that are going the wrong way. I'm sure you'll agree with me. And this message is not because I think there's a whole big problem in our church here. I really am blessed with what I see. I'm really blessed. I have to say that. So this message is not because I think there's a huge problem here. I just feel a burden on my heart that we can hear God's word, what it says about this. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." In our generation, there's this big thing of once you turn 21, or some people once you turn 18, now you're on your own. Now you can do what you want. And you don't have to listen to anybody else. You're of age. And I just want to I want to pull that root out and tell you that that's not scriptural. That's not biblical. There is a point that the Bible teaches about 20 years old, once you turn 20, that you are responsible before God. But as we'll see further in the message, there's many examples that I'm going to touch on where children were way over 21, that they were still more obedient to their parents. And it's very astounding how old some of those children were that still honored and reverenced their parents. But of course, their parents were walking in the ways of the Lord. And there are situations where parents are not serving God and the children have to take a stand for what's right, maybe against their parents' wishes, which I'm not really referring to that this morning. My burden lies at the heart of what causes children to go astray. What causes all this rebellion that we see around us in our generation? Jesus said in Matthew, when he referred to the last days, he said, "The children shall rise up against their parents." Doesn't that sound familiar? We have the terrible twos, the teenage crisis, adolescent rebellion, children running away from their parents. There's two places in the New Testament where disobedient to parents is listed in a list of very bad sins. Disobedient to parents. It's listed there in Romans chapter 1 and in 2 Timothy 3, disobedient to parents. It's a pretty grievous sin. Now, this can all be, has to be understood in the right context, because if people's parents teach them the wrong thing, to sin or to disobey God, that would not fall under this category. If someone comes from a Hindu or a Muslim background or some other religious group that teaches things against the Bible, that is not what I'm referring to. What is wrong? There are many things wrong in our world. We can blame the parents, the preachers, the school teachers, the boss, the wrong friend, etc. You know, as we consider why so many youth are going astray today, I'm sure they have someone to blame. Everyone has someone they want to blame for their problems. But let's put all that blame aside. Let's just lay that blame down and let's see where your personal responsibility is. It's one of the core issues is youth making the wrong decisions. You know, each of us has a mind to think, don't we? I mean, God's given us the power of reason, and as we come up through, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, God has given each of you the power to make decisions in your mind, doesn't he? Isn't that right? Which of you 12 to 14, 15-year-olds can't figure out how you're going to eat your food? Might be simple. You can figure that out, can't you? So God has given you the power of reason, a free choice, free will. And so we have youth that are making wrong decisions. And we can blame the parents, they didn't raise them right, or they treated them wrong, or they didn't love them enough, or whatever, which definitely has a bearing upon it. But the issue still is making wrong decisions. So my burden as we go through our message today is to encourage and exhort you, children and youth, to make right decisions, because your decisions are going to determine your future. They're going to, and my goal is to create a desire and an excitement in your hearts to make right decisions, because I'm very persuaded there's a lot of blessing in store for you if you do. Praise the Lord. And as we go through this, we are not alone. You may think, well, are there really a lot of others that are following God? We will see by the examples I will give later on that we are a part of a great company of ones that have gone before us, of young people that have gone before, that have made choices and decisions to turn away from the world and follow God, follow His way. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Why do we obey? For it's right. Just simple as that. For it is right. God has given much instruction to us fathers to be the spiritual leaders in our home. And if we don't, we're definitely to blame. God has given the mothers and wives a place of submission. And if they don't do that, they are to blame. And God has given children a place to fill. And if they step away from that, they are to blame. We parents need to help our children learn how to make right decisions that they won't regret in 20 years. My dear children and youth, what kind of decisions are you making today? Just think about it. Just back away from your situation and whatever and see what kind of decisions you're making. Are they quality decisions? Something that's going to last? I will guarantee you on the authority of God's word, if you obey your parents in the Lord, you won't regret it. Think ahead 20, 30, 40 years. Are you making the kind of quality choices that will endure and stand the test of time? Amazing. Are you training your mind to think according to truth, God's word, uprightness? My dear youth, children, if you can listen, are you training your mind to think according to God's word? You know, sometimes there's all these thoughts that come in our mind and not sure exactly where they come from sometimes. We need to filter those and we need to kick out the ones that are not right. Amen? Amen. You can't help if a bird flies over your head, but you can help them not to make a nest on your head, right? So if you get these thoughts coming through, I mean, it may not even be real evil thoughts, but whatever thoughts come through, you need to train your mind with the help of God to throw out the wrong thoughts and the thoughts that are from God, from His Word, to really hold on to those. Amen. And by doing so, over many years of time, you'll be thinking like God, or you'll be thinking like God's Word. What a blessing. Do you allow vanity and lies to be a part of your thoughts? What I mean by that is thoughts that are just worthless, that are not going to lead you the right way. If you allow those kind of thoughts, whether it's about yourself or about others or about God, if you allow those thoughts in your mind from young up, you're going to run into a dead-end street. You're going to hit a brick wall later in life. And Satan's out to kill, steal, and destroy. We must choose this day whom we will serve. My dear young people, you must choose this day. Now we're going to get to our first point here, examples in Scripture. Why don't you turn with me to the book of Joshua? We're going to spend some time looking at the life of a certain individual. There's a famous phrase a lot of people have hanging in their house. It says, choose you this day, whom you, or it says, sorry, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Does anyone 10 and under know who said those words? Does anyone 10 years old and under know who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? How about anyone 12 and under?
Joshua.
Now, how many in this room are called Joshua? Three or four. Wow, that's a blessing. Okay. Joshua 24. I'll read a few verses there. Joshua speaks these words when he's 110 years old. Joshua had been through a lot of and seen a lot. Giving a little history on Joshua, he was, according to my timeline I looked at, Joshua was 45 years old when the children of Israel left Egypt. And he was called a young man. That's really encouraging, isn't it? Young man, 45. So, he was 45. Joshua had seen, I'm sure he had been one of the slaves, if you would do a little bit logical thinking, he was probably crying to God for deliverance, and he experienced what the children of Israel experienced before they were delivered. And it seemed like he had a special touch of God on his life, because as we'll see here as we go down through, he just seemed like God put a mark on him. He was born around 1536 BC, and the children of Israel would have left Egypt about 1491 BC. Joshua was 35 years younger than Moses, and Joshua was 5 years older than Caleb. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 17. Actually, sorry, I never read this verse here in Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's turn over to Exodus 17. This is the first place I could find in the Bible that we meet Joshua. The name Joshua, I was amazed, but his name—he's referred to over 200 times in the Bible, and his name appears in a couple different forms. Most of the time, it's the spelling we know, but it also appears as Hoshea one time and Jehoshua one time. Exodus 17. Verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Skipping on down through, verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. As we go through here, looking at the life of Joshua, there's something that really stands out to me, and that is how this 45-year-old man, we call him a man, here it called him a young man, how he was, we could say, resigned, or he was submitted to Moses. He was called Moses' minister. Exodus 24 refers and says, Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. I want to turn over there, Exodus 24. You're having there verse 12. It says how it appears that Joshua went up to the mount with Moses. And it says that Moses talked with God as face to face, like a friend with a friend. And I'm not sure where Joshua was at this time, but he was somewhere up on the mountain. And I'm sure this is making a great impression on his life. Anyway, chapter 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, God is talking to Moses and giving him all these commands and everything. And then chapter 32, if you want to flip over there, chapter 32, they're coming down from the mountain, and we've got some big trouble in the valley. The children of Israel have made a molten calf. And 32 verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Big trouble. The people had turned away from God. Joshua was up there hidden away with God and Moses. Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And this is one of my points I want to point out. Joshua, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He had seen the Lord, and he just wanted to stay there in the presence of God. That's my heart for each one of you young people, is that you can get a taste of God when you're young. You can get a taste of the reality that you'll want to stay right there. I just remember, I remember back when I was younger and just seeking after the Lord, and just, it's wonderful. I just want that for all of you. You could get a taste of that. The world has nothing to offer compared to God. It has nothing to offer the beauty of God's way. Okay, let's turn over to Numbers. We're not quite done with Joshua here, but there's a couple other people we want to meet. Numbers 11, 26 to 29. Numbers 11. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. They were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, servant of Moses, one of his young men, said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Would God that all the people of Faith Christian Fellowship were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Amen. The preachers are not envious if other people speak God's word. Amen. We want everyone to speak the word of God. That prophesying, the word prophesy has two meanings. We often think of it as a foretelling, prediction, declaring of something in the future. But it just as well means preaching, public interpretation of Scripture, exhorting, exhortation, or instruction. So would God that all the Lord's people would take God's word and teach it, teaching God's word to themselves and others. Eldad and Medad, just don't get so excited about this experience. You need to just, you know, be like everyone else. Moses said, don't forbid them. They're excited about the Lord. That's great. That's wonderful. Don't forbid them. Would God that all Lord's people were prophets. I say with Moses, would God all the Lord's people were prophets, and that he would put his spirit on them. Simply put, oh, I already said that. Take God's word and teach it to others. Okay, let's get back to talking about Joshua. We have two places where Joshua is called Moses' minister in Exodus 24:13 and Joshua 1 verse 1, and two places that he's called Moses' servant, 33:11 and 11:28, and Numbers 11:28. So how many of you children or young people would sort of not like to be called your parent's servant? That feel a little bit less or something, you know? Or how about if you would, you know, be your dad's servant or your mom's servant? Does that seem a little bit less than your dignity? Well, 45-year-old Joshua, he was Moses' servant. How about that? And get this, he served Moses for 40 years. 40 years. We think maybe I'll just make it till I'm 21, then I can be on my own. Sorry. He served Moses for 40 years. You're just getting started. Amen. So after Joshua served Moses for, and I don't think he was doing it because he had to. What do you think about that? Do you think Joshua just every morning, well, I got to be Moses' servant again this morning, and I can't wait till I'm 85, till I can lead the children of Israel. It's just taking so long. I don't think that was his. I think he was just rejoicing in where God had him. Amen. And that's my heart this morning, is to encourage you that you can just rejoice where God has you today. Maybe you're 16, 18, 19, 15. Be the Lord's servant. Serve your parents. Serve the ones God's put over you. And I see that in Scripture as being such a vital point, that servanthood precedes leadership. Serving, you almost, as far as I can see it, always precedes someone in authority. So if you want to be in charge, you serve. And then God will decide the rest. You don't have to try to figure it out. Okay, let's turn over to Numbers 27. As we see Joshua getting older here, we see him receiving more responsibility. Numbers, he was getting up there, probably in his close to 80-some there. Numbers 27:18, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel before him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So Joshua had served Moses for many, many years, between 30 and 40 years. And now the time comes when God told Moses to put Joshua in charge of the children of Israel. We flip over to Deuteronomy. It also says the same thing. He gave Joshua a charge. Deuteronomy 31, he gave him the charge and he said, be strong and of a good courage. In Deuteronomy 34, 9, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him did as the Lord commanded Moses. How many of you want to be full of the spirit of wisdom? Anyone can raise their hand. How many want to be full of the spirit of wisdom? Amen. Praise God. This is the principle that will get you there. This principle of recognizing God's authority is going to get you on the way to get this wisdom. There's definitely more things to it than just that, but that is part of it. Okay, let's read a couple verses in Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give it to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, for from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Wow. How many of you young people want to have good success? How many of you want to prosper? Right here you go. Right here you go. You live a life like the life of Joshua, and you trust in the God that Joshua trusted in, and you will have a life of prospering and good success. You may not, I'm not guaranteeing you money, I'm not guaranteeing you an easy life, but God's blessing is going to be on your life. Praise the Lord. One last thing about Joshua. In chapter 24, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of who? The Lord, died being 110 years old. So he started out being the servant of Moses, now he's the servant of the Lord. And I want to say that by serving your parents, those God placed over you, you are serving the Lord. In the Old Testament, oh yes, I already covered that. Okay, let's look at a few other examples. I'm not going to turn to too much scripture on this, but let's look at Abraham. Many of us don't know just from reading the Bible what Abram's life was like before age 75, but if you read some history, it's pretty revealing that Abraham was tutored by some very godly men, you might know. Some history would tell us that Abraham lived in the house of Noah and Shem for 39 years. I don't even think that's half your lifetime, but Abraham did live to 175. So, but yes, Abraham, according to this, was instructed in the ways of the Lord by Noah and his son Shem for 39 years. Let's go. Isaac was taught in the ways of the Lord for 37 years by his father Abraham. And then he also was instructed by Shem and Eber. I have a little something I want to read to do with Isaac. Here we have Isaac, young man, 37 years old, that God told his father to offer him on the altar. And he was definitely resigned to the will of his father and the will of God. Let's turn over to Genesis 22. This would be what I would call the ultimate denying of yourself, the ultimate surrender. How many of you young people have your parents ever asked you to surrender your life at their will? I don't think there's one in here that your parents have asked you to be sacrificed on the altar. But how about your will? How about sacrificing your will on the altar? That's pretty hard sometimes. It's just so hard to give up. Just so hard to lay my agenda down. It's just, oh my. Let's see if we can hear the inside story of some of what Isaac said regarding to being offered. I'm reading here from some history. And Abraham took wood for a burnt offering and placed it upon his son Isaac. And he took the fire and the knife, and they both went to that place. And when they were going along, Isaac said to his father, "Behold, I see here the fire and the wood. And where then is the lamb that is to be the burnt offering before the Lord?" And Abraham answered his son Isaac, saying, "The Lord has made choice of thee, my son, to be a perfect burnt offering instead of the lamb." And Isaac said unto his father, "I will do all that the Lord spoke to thee with joy and cheerfulness of heart." 37-year-old. And Abraham said unto Isaac his son, "Is there in thy heart any thought or counsel concerning this which is not proper? Tell me, my son, I pray thee. O my son, conceal it not from me." And Isaac answered his father Abraham and said unto him, "O my father, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is nothing in my heart to cause me to deviate either to the right or to the left from the word that he has spoken to thee. Neither limb or muscle has moved or stirred at this, nor is there in my heart any thought or evil counsel concerning this. But I am of joyful and cheerful heart in this matter. And I say, blessed is the Lord who has this day chosen me to be a burnt offering before him." And Abraham greatly rejoiced at the words of Isaac, and they went on and came together to that place that the Lord had spoken of. And Abraham approached to build the altar in that place, and Abraham was weeping. And Isaac took stones and mortar until they had finished building the altar. And Abraham took the wood and placed it in order upon the altar which he had built. And he took his son Isaac and bound him in order to place him upon the wood which was upon the altar to slay him for a burnt offering before the Lord. And Isaac said to his father, "Bind me securely, and then place me upon the altar, lest I should turn and move and break loose from the force of the knife upon my flesh, and therefore thereof profane the burnt offering." And Abraham did so. And Isaac still said to his father, "O my father, when thou shalt have slain me and burnt me for an offering, take with thee that which shall remain of my ashes to bring to Sarah my mother, and say to her, 'This is the sweet-smelling savor of Isaac.' But do not tell her this if she should sit near a well or upon a high place, lest she should cast her soul after me and die." And Abraham heard the words of Isaac, and he lifted up his voice and wept when Isaac spake these words. And Abraham's tears gushed down upon Isaac his son. And Isaac wept bitterly and said to his father, "Hasten thou, O my father, and do with me the will of the Lord our God, as he has commanded thee." And the hearts of Abraham and Isaac rejoiced at this thing which the Lord had commanded them, but the eye wept bitterly while the heart rejoiced. And Abraham bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar upon the wood, and Isaac stretched forth his neck upon the altar before his father, and Abraham stretched forth his hand to take the knife to slay his son as a burnt offering before the Lord. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the child." Quite a story. So, if you can just see what kind of heart Isaac had to his father, and then you look at what we're facing today, and you just say, it just doesn't make sense. Children rising up against their parents. You thinking that they can't obey just a few constraints their parents give them. I mean, come on. Come on, my dear young people. Can we get a vision of something beyond ourselves? There's a verse in the New Testament. We're going to touch a few more examples here, but it says, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, talking to servants. And, you know, God has given instruction to the parents, but that, if they don't obey, that does not take away us, or does not take away the responsibility of us youth to do our part. If God wants servants to obey froward masters that are not nice to work with, how about parents that are concerned for your soul, for your spiritual well-being? It's like a no-brainer. I mean, of course. Okay, let's look at Jacob. He was taught by Abraham, his grandfather, and instructed in the ways of the Lord, as well as his father. Joseph was taught by Jacob, his father, about God till age 17 when he was taken to Egypt. David was a man after God's own heart. He was somewhere around 20 when he killed Goliath. Daniel had an excellent spirit. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. We have that little maid, Naaman's wife. I'm not sure how old she was, but she told Naaman's wife about their God. You don't have to be old to tell about God. You can share about what God's done for you when you're very young. Ruth obeyed her mother-in-law. God blessed her with a godly husband. Esther obeyed her uncle Mordecai and ended up saving her people. John the Baptist, born 6 months before Jesus, spent his early years learning the ways of the Lord. in seclusion in the wilderness near his home, west of the Dead Sea. This is not 6-month instruction class or till you're 21 or 5 years or. I mean, we're talking about things like 10, 20 years, 30 years, learning the ways of the Lord, getting discipled by godly men. Now we get to Jesus, our greatest example. You know, if anybody had a good reason to say, well, you know, I've got some spiritual insight, you know, I'm 21 now, you know, I can really know what's the best for my life. It should have been Jesus, shouldn't it? Now let's turn over to Luke chapter 2. You all know the story very well. Here we have Jesus, age 12, goes to the temple and gets a taste of serving the Lord out there in the temple. And when his parents go looking for him, he says, you know, why are you trying to find me? I must be about my Father's business. And that would seem like a real spiritual thing, wouldn't it? Be in the temple. Go to school. Learn to be a preacher. I'm not against that. That sounds like a real spiritual thing. How about it being spiritual to be under your parents? I think that's just as spiritual, to be submissive to your parents. Jesus went down with his parents and was subject to them. He went back with them to work in the carpenter shop. Back to his work. And what does it say? Jesus increased in wisdom. There we have it again. Make your way prosperous. He increased in wisdom. He was full of the spirit of wisdom. What we read about Joshua. And favor with God and man. We're going to look at another point. Obedience to God equals blessing. The reason I wrote obedience to God equals blessing is because you could be obedient to some people that wouldn't bring blessing. So just plain obedience is not necessarily going to bring blessing. It's got to be to God, either to your parents in the Lord, or you get the point there. We could talk about a lot of negative examples about children that didn't obey their parents. And I've chosen to not, for the sake of time, not get into a lot of negative examples, but I do want to uplift the standard of the word. My main focus is to show the outpouring of God's blessing on those who obey and honor their parents. I mean, it's without a doubt. The longer I live, the more I see that the people who walk that path have God's blessing on them. Honor your parents. Even if there's some things you don't agree, at least you can honor. You can show due respect. Maybe some of you have come from backgrounds that you don't agree with everything, but you still can show honor. You can still give the due respect and maybe even lay down some of your freedoms or whatever to show honor. You know, one brother told me that, you know, whenever they go back to his wife's parents' place, that they have a few requirements for them, and I respect that. I mean, you can go out of your way to show honor. But you might say, my mom is so hard to get along with. My dad is so controlling. I just can't stand it. Maybe some of you have thought about that. My mom is just so, rubs me the wrong way. My dad just forces himself on me. Sorry, no excuses allowed here. That verse in 1 Peter, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Let's turn over there, 1 Peter. A few more verses I want to read. If God wants servants to be subject to froward masters, basically that word froward is talking about contrary, just thick-headed, you know, hard to deal with. Let's read there, 1 Peter 2, 18. It says, we already read that verse. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. We could say, put it in our context here, that God doesn't want you children to obey your parents only when it feels like you want to do it. Only when things are going your way. God wants you to obey your parents when it's the last thing you want to do. When it's the most against your grain. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. And we're not even suffering. I'm not even talking about suffering. I'm just talking about laying your will down. I'm not even talking about getting beaten for Christ. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Christ didn't retaliate. How many children retaliate when their parents don't even hurt them at all? You know, son, could you do this? I don't want to. It's too hard. I mean, if you're called a Christian, Christ is calling all of us youth to follow his steps. Did no sin. When he suffered, he threatened not. Jesus did not. His will was laid on the altar of his Father. His will was surrendered to his Father. And this is the challenge in our daily lives, to implement this in our lives. Okay. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamps will be put out in obscure darkness. You find someone who's rebellious, someone who is going against their parents' wishes, you look in their eyes, it's going to probably look pretty dark. Darkness. A foolish son or daughter is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son or daughter, I'll say, maketh a glad father. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. I'll take a raise of hands. How many of us find it difficult to receive instruction? Sometimes, maybe depends how people come across. How many of us find it difficult to receive instruction if someone just forcefully tells it to us. A little bit harder. But how about thinking how we can grow in our understanding, no matter how the person brings it across? You know, maybe your dad's under pressure and he's just uptight or something, and just, you know, Brother Joe preached the other Sunday on that, and seemed like his son was able to take that and not go wrong from it, and in turn God was able to work in the whole situation there. But a wise man will hear and will increase learning, no matter who it is. Instead of writing him off and saying, well, he doesn't have any business telling me anything, what can I learn? What can I learn from this situation? Okay, let's talk about a few applications yet. Okay, how can we as children and youth apply God's word to our lives? How can we do that? How can we tap into this river of blessing? You know, God has a river of blessing flowing from the throne of God, river of life. How can we tap into that to get a blessing? When your parents require something of you, think WWJD. What would Jesus do? He obeyed his parents. When your father or mother is having a hard day, what should you do? Be their minister, like Joshua was to Moses. Serve your authorities, your parents, with a willing and cheerful heart, like Isaac was willing to offer himself on the altar in obedience to God's will. When your will and your parents' will don't seem to agree, what should you do? Now, this is, of course, in the context of your parents wanting you to go the right way. I'm not talking about parents that want you to disobey God. If your parents' will and your will don't seem to agree, what should you do? You should surrender. Like Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was having a struggle thinking about going to the cross. He was having a great struggle. And he was sweating great drops of blood. It was not an easy thing. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. When you're faced with temptation to sin or think of vanity and lies, purpose in your heart with Daniel to have an excellent spirit, not defile yourself. Can you join me with David and desire to be a man and woman after God's own heart? Can you join me, my dear young people? God bless you.